Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. Well, we love amazing testimonies of God's miraculous healing power or how God is moving around the world. And today on the Charisma News Podcast Miracle Series, we have a featured guest. This is Pamela Christian, and she's one of the podcasters for the Charisma Podcast Network with the podcast Faith to Live By. And Pam has an amazing story of healing and how God has saved her. So, Pam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, John, for having me.
I know we've been interacting a lot with you being in the podcast network, and I love seeing your podcast grow, but you have tremendous stories that you share on your podcast. And one of those stories caught our attention recently about how God saved you and God healed you. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and let's get right into your testimony.
Oh, sounds great. Yes, God saved me when I was just short of 30 years old, but he healed me miraculously about 20 years ago. In fact, to this very month, it was September 16th, 2002. And what happened for me, John, is I was able to meet three other women so we could play tennis for the first time. And I hadn't played tennis in a while. I really wanted to get back into the game. So I arrived feeling what I thought was just a bundle of nerves. And I was introduced to the two other women I didn't know, and we took our places on the court to warm up. And the first ball I hit went into the net. The second ball that I hit, this is just warm up, went over the fence. And the third ball I hit went over to Jill, who was supposed to be warming up with Debbie. I was supposed to be warming up with Terry. And I was immediately embarrassed and mortified because I wanted so badly to impress them that they would have me back, that we could play tennis again. But the next thing that happened is I realized I was far too short of breath for the amount of exertion, and I was really hot and sweaty. So I thought, I've just really gotten myself emotionally worked up. I figured I'd just go sit down and try to mentally calm myself down. I also sensed a tightness in my chest, and I thought, well, you know, I've eaten an awful lot of cantaloupe and watermelon trying to get in those last of those summer fruits.
Those are so good.
Oh, I know, right? So I just thought that's all that was bothering me. And then I could tell I wasn't getting any better. And they were continuing to warm up, but it was awkward because we were supposed to be playing doubles. And so Terry said, well, why don't I, you know, drive you to your doctor? Because clearly you're not getting any better. Well, I had brand new insurance. I didn't even have an established primary care physician yet. Mm-hmm. So I walked. I said, no, I told her, no, please go play. And I walked myself out to where my car was parked. And a little warning here before I tell you what actually happened. So the warning's been duly given. I threw up. Right there in public, I threw up. And now Terry caught that and she says, no, I'm definitely driving you to the doctor. So she wanted me to get into her little red sports car, which was immaculate. And I thought, oh, no, the last thing I need to do is make a mess in her car. Right. I again got out and I wanted to just go lay down on the damp sidewalk under the shade of the tree and just collect myself. Well, obviously something was really wrong. We didn't know what at this time, but the three women I was with were all Christian women, and they immediately set together the prayer chain at our church. The other one called 911 while Debbie ran down to the corner to watch for the EMTs to arrive. They arrived 6 minutes and 21 seconds after the call was made. And from the moment that they got on the scene, John, they began administering advanced life support. That's how serious my condition was.
When you say advanced life support, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not an EMT. I don't know all the details, but I did find out later because I asked and did a lot of learning so I could find out what happened. I did hear Jeff Peterson, who was the paramedic, talking to the doctor. He said that he would administer 50 cc's of lidocaine. That was to get my heart regulated. Okay. Then another 50 cc's of lidocaine was administered. And I understand that Captain Seekins was writing down the progression. And I went into, ultimately, I mean, I know this now, I didn't at the time, went into a full-blown ventricular fibrillation. And the progression was so fast, Captain Seekins could barely write down what was happening for the record. And Jeff Peterson, doing what he should be doing, asked me a series of questions. You know, the typical questions. What is the day of the week? What is your name? What is your weight? Can you believe they even asked me that? My gosh, it's the only time I ever admitted my weight in public. Anyway, he then asked me, aren't you feeling kind of funny? And I remember lying there thinking, wait a minute, you're the paramedic. What kind of a question is that? Well, I learned later that I was answering his questions when the EKG showed that my heart had already flatlined.
Wow.
So I think it's funny because I'm a speaker that I would still be talking even though my heart had stopped. Anyway, so about that time I went out and the girls who were there with me and apparently a crowd had gathered said that my body turned tomato red and I flopped on the sidewalk a lot like a fish out of water. And I was in a completely different dimension. So I was not going through the trauma that they were by any means. I was at a place I call the threshold of heaven. And it was glorious. There aren't even words to describe what I experienced, but the peace was so incredible. The love of God was so evident. The fact that I was in the center of his sovereign care, I knew. I was also aware that I was a wife and a mother, but it didn't matter because I knew that they were in God's sovereign care, and I really liked where I was. Well, I'm told they had to get the zip scissors out in order to get through to my clothing and get the defibrillators positioned. And within one treatment of 200 joules of power surging through my body, my heart responded. And I heard the voice of a man. This was Greg Brinkley, who happens to be an African-American man. And he was knelt over me as I was lying on the sidewalk. He was knelt over me and he was saying, Pam, Pam, are you with us? Pam, come back. And I was so agitated that anybody would disturb me because I really, really liked where I was. But slowly I could feel my spirit being drawn back into my body. And then I sensed that my chest was bare and that there was a crowd of onlookers. And so my hands were strapped to different apparatus. I couldn't cover myself up. So I kept asking, am I naked?
Where is this happening?
Nobody answered. This is on a public sidewalk.
On a public sidewalk. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
this is not in a hospital room. This is on the public sidewalk that this is all happening. Oh, wow.
Yes. And I asked two or three times, but they were busy. So, I mean, obviously, they're trying to get things picked up to take me to the hospital. But I've started getting upset, and they don't want a cardiac patient to get upset. So Greg bends down. He says, Pam, that's all we've got to worry about. That's been a good day. Not from my perspective. So they took me to the hospital. And I was in the hospital for 8 days.
Wow.
They gave me every test imaginable because they wanted to find out what caused the sudden cardiac arrest. They never did find out anything. I'm not at the time, especially I was not overweight. I was playing tennis. I didn't smoke. There was no history, no reason for me to have suffered what I did. But I'm confident because the three women who were with me were Christians and they immediately went to prayer that God has continued to use this entire situation. In fact, John, every time I tell my story, I get letters or emails or some kind of communication back that my story has either encouraged somebody or helped save somebody else's life because my symptoms were so mild. And that's probably one thing we probably want to get across right now is I had a sense that I just simply wanted to belch, just to get a good belch and I'd feel better. Very slowly did I get out of breath, did I get hot and sweaty. Very slowly did the symptoms come upon me. I mean, enough that I was willing to ignore them. Very slowly did my left arm start to tingle. So my first point in all of this, explaining all of this, is that anyone who is around somebody who's having symptoms that even mimic what I'm talking about, because mine were so mild, immediately go to the hospital and have somebody else drive you because it could worsen while you're actually trying to drive yourself to the hospital. And it's, I understand that since there's the access of easily accessed defibrillators now, there where they didn't used to be, but there are more in public places now, that more people's lives are being saved.
That's good.
But from at the time that it happened to me, only 5% of witness victims survived sudden cardiac arrest.
Wow.
And I'm told that for every minute a person's gone, there is brain damage. And contrary to what my children claim, I have no drain damage.
I see what you did there. That was good. That was funny.
Well, you know, it's a very dramatic story and there needs to be opportunity to laugh, to really take it all in.
Right.
There is much more to the story. People could hear the whole story as I presented it at UCI First Annual Day of Women's Health at the Crystal Cathedral, or as it's been told on the Focus on the Family broadcast more than one occasion. It's available, and it's a worthwhile story for people to hear in its entirety because it truly has saved lives.
Yeah, and that's available on your website,
yes.
So people can can get it there. And we'll make sure to put a link to that. So if they can want to hear the full story, those longer versions, then you're welcome to do that. But I have a couple questions for you. Like, what is different between a heart attack and what you experienced?
Okay, this is what I've learned. And again, I'm not a medical doctor. Right, I'm not giving medical advice. I just want to be real clear on that. But what I understand is that a heart attack is where there's a blockage, but where there's sudden cardiac arrest, the heart abruptly stops.
Okay.
In my case, because of the progression, and I've forgotten all the names of them, but the progression was such that the heart became out of sync. The upper and lower chambers were not in rhythm. And that's what caused my heart to abruptly stop.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is something that people might just think about it as a heart attack, but it's something very different.
Yes.
So you can, I mean, you're in great shape even to this day. And yes. I mean, you were playing tennis. And so this is something that people definitely need to be aware of. But, you know, this is the Charisma News podcast, you know, miracle stories. And I can't get away from your experience as you described it, at the threshold of heaven. Can we talk more about that, Pam? Because I know our listeners really, really want to hear about that experience.
Sure. For me, the atmosphere was a comfort, like a darkened room where it's very comfortable, where you could slumber and just feel secure. I've also said that it might be what it feels like to be in the mother's womb, where you know that you're in the center and you're in the position of being completely cared for, but you have no awareness of where the external is. You're just in the center. And it was a comforting dark. If it wasn't a frightening dark, it was a comforting dark, like you might have if you were to go get a massage, for example. Okay. And but there was no music playing. There were no angels singing.
All right.
But I did see a horizontal white light off in the distance, but it didn't beckon me. And obviously it wasn't my time, but it's for these reasons that I call it the threshold of heaven, the peace, the certainty of God's existence, the sovereignty of God. So what I have now, John, is an experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and an experiential knowledge of a place called heaven. It has strengthened my faith. I mean, I was already a public speaker when this occurred. I had been in ministry, oh golly, a long time, even at that point. And but what it did is it brought me back with a greater resolve, a greater intensity, a greater voraciousness to make sure that I'm always about my Father's business.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I mean, you're a tenacious woman. You're going to, once you're set on something, you're going to go for it and you're going to get it done. And now, I mean, you've really been set on preaching the gospel, sharing the truth, specifically sharing the truth, and to people that really need to hear it. And I love that about you. And now you have, even from this experience, you've had even a renewed purpose. So what happened with those other ladies that were your friends? Did you ever play tennis with them again?
Well, actually we did from time to time. And one of them in particular, Jill, I still play tennis with to this very day.
Wow!
And we're not as young as we were 20 years ago, but we do. And she's very brave to play tennis with me, because there was another time that there was a minor episode while I was playing tennis. Yes. Afterwards. So, but I am fitted now, surgically fitted with what they call an automatic implantable cardiovascular device. It simply monitors my heart.
Okay.
So if I should need the pacemaker, it would pace my heart. If I should need the defibrillator would go off.
Oh, wow.
And that's what happened on the tennis court that next time, was that the defibrillator malfunctioned and sent me flying across the court.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. So you have this piece of modern technology, and I hope you got the update so that you know, the firmware update for that defibrillator part.
It's a little different than that. I have to go in surgically, but I'm being well taken care of by my doctors.
Well, that's good. Okay, so they don't have to plug you in or anything like that.
No, in fact, I really am. I want to stress this too. Yeah. I really am a miracle. There was no residual heart damage whatsoever. And they saw my heart beat in excess of 300 beats per minute.
Oh, wow.
For someone my size at full exertion should be about 180.
Yeah.
So I have no heart damage. They found no plumbing or electrical or no cholesterol, no electrical issues. So they didn't really know what to do with me. They wanted me to take the standard, you know, protocol, and learning of the side effects, I thought, no, I don't want to take them. And my cardiologist said he couldn't force me to, but I told him I would rather not and have him just monitor me. And to this very day, 20 years later, I still don't take any kind of medications and I'm not restricted in my diet, which is probably why I've gained a little weight.
But you're still here to do that though.
I'm still
my grandmother here. Used to always tell me, you know, whenever you'd complain about something, she said, well, it happens to the living. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the fact that you're still living and you're serving the Lord. And you're one of our podcasters on the Charisma Podcast Network. Can you just tell us, as we're wrapping up here, a little bit about your podcast and what people can expect to find if they check it out?
Yeah, you mentioned truth. I'm all about truth. I want to help people discover and live in life-giving truth and experience all the hope truth provides. And you know, in these days, especially since early 2020, we've had nothing. We have not had truth. We've had nothing but deception. And so I got angry. And this is how God often calls me to a new task. I got upset and also heartbroken to know that so many people are deceived. And I decided I would do whatever I could to help people discover truth in this current culture. And that's the reason I started Faith to Live By, which is the name of my podcast. It's also the name of my book series, Faith to Live By. I'm a charismatic apologist. So I try to help bridge the gap between rational thought and spiritual reality and find a balance there, because I believe that's very lacking in the church today as well. And I take current events and try to dissect them and discern them from a biblical and a prophetic worldview so that we as God's children can know how God wants us to respond, especially in these unprecedented times.
Amen. Amen. And one thing that I just want to say to everybody that's listening about Pam's podcast, and especially the amount of work and research that goes into what you're saying. Pam does not just say things willy-nilly or just off the cuff. She is very thoughtful. She has resources and sources, and she can get all that information to you if you request it. And so all of her show notes are very, very detailed, and because she wants to be able to prove that what she's saying is true, and you can count on that too. So Pam, it's great to have you on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I am so glad that you're here, you're alive, you're doing well, and that you're able to share your miracle story with us on the Charisma News Podcast.
Well, thank you for allowing me to on all accounts.
This is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.